Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yes!
Well, hello, good sir.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
We are here.
Yeah.
Born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe.
Wow. I mean, sure. Ba-da-da, 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 ba-da,
bow, now, bow, now. Fighting to survive.
What is that
in
from?
In a war with the Highlander.
Oh.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe.
Well, when you say it like that. That movie's biblical. There can be only one.
There can be only one.
True God.
Highlander.
No, true God. I'm going to get a t-shirt that says there can be only one, and then underneath it's going to say true God, but it's going to have the Highlander sword on it.
They can sell it in every crappy Christian bookstore.
That's exactly what I mean.
Right along with the breadcrumb and fish and the spirit shirts. Everyone will be so stoked on it. And you can also, like, even have it with the picks that say pick Jesus. And I mean, man.
Stop it! Oh,
you
man.
Know, when I think of that stuff, I think of Steve-O, so.
Thanks, buddy, because you know me.
Cheesy Christianity.
I have lots of Jesus junk.
You know the one that offends me the most is the God's Gym shirt, where Jesus is bench pressing the cross, like
right.
bleeding. It's like,
right.
oh yeah, because that was totally what was happening.
You know what's crazy is when I was a little kid, I had that shirt.
Oh man,
I'm sorry. And then on the back, it had the hand with the like nail through it. It said, "No pain, no gain," or something
oh,
like that.
Oh my gosh.
I was like 9, and my mom bought me that shirt.
Whoever
Shut
made
up.
That shirt is so irreverent. God's Gym. Oh, bench press the cross.
Yeah.
Oh, my God!
You realize there's somebody listening right now who is probably wearing that t-shirt who is, like, really devastated.
Hopefully
just, like,
they burn it.
Their day.
Hopefully they take it off right now and burn it. Wherever you are, if you're wearing that shirt, take it off right now.
Do not. You may get arrested.
Yeah.
It's
only
like some dude in a cubicle somewhere. Yeah.
That'd be great.
I'm sorry, dude in the cubicle. Didn't mean for you
well,
to
Well, actually,
your job.
You're wearing the God's Gym, so you should rip it off like Hulk Hogan.
That'd be cool. That would be cool, in which case you would totally redeem that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yep.
Shock Therapy Live, Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig joining you. And yes, this is a serious show.
Sometimes.
You know what? We're kind of all over. We're all over the place. I'm reading a really great book right now called Pop Cultured by Steve Turner. He's written for Rolling Stone and lots of contributions from a lot of different people. And he was talking about pop culture and how when we have conversations that anytime we talk about anything serious, whether it's religion or politics or whatever, people usually put their defenses up when you talk serious. And George Carlin was saying the best way to inundate somebody, the best way to get somebody to be open to an idea is through comedy, which is why George Carlin, who was...
Which is why... Why are you saying that?
Why? Because it's W-H. Why? What? You've never heard me talk like
why
that?
Why are you saying that?
That's why. That's how he introduced new ideas was through his comedy, because he was an atheist, that's how he would introduce it. Because he said you put those guards down through comedy, and then boom, hit him with an idea, and it doesn't seem so crazy.
Is George Carlin still alive?
No.
Wonder if he's laughing now,
dude.
Bad joke.
Bad. Terrible.
Dude, did you hear that Ariel died?
Gosh, okay. I'm like, all this stuff is happening, end of Team Awesome Morning Party, into Shock Therapy Live. I saw his photo. I knew something was happening, and then you just told me that, and what?
Yeah. Ariel. Not the Ariel. Like
not the mermaid.
Not the redheaded mermaid who has a bunch of teenage angst and doesn't want to
Ariel
be a mermaid.
Castro.
Ariel Castro. Yeah. He hung himself in his prison cell.
This is...
They had him on every 30 minutes the police were checking on him. He was, like, in seclusion so people wouldn't, like, destroy him in prison.
Right!
But he hung himself. Yeah, they found him and...
Gosh.
Dude.
I have no words because I'm like, I don't even know where to go with that.
You know, it was funny. Last night we were watching Jimmy Kimmel Live, my wife and I, and everything that he was using as a punchline, like, I knew it all. I was like, oh, yeah, I read about that because I read USA Today all the time. And my wife always gives me a hard time about reading USA Today. She's like, why are you reading USA Today? What are you doing? Like, because I'm always on there reading it. And I explained to her, I do it because, you know, in my teachings, I use these you know, stories, things that it's talking about that's going on in modern culture. And it was so funny. So Jimmy Kimmel brought up all this stuff and was like, that's why I watch and
so
listen
that,
to USA
so that
Today.
You can get the punchlines before anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting because I was reading – as I'm reading this book, Pop Culture. We're going to do a book review on it. This was given to me by –
I didn't know you knew how to read.
I do. It's called Pop Culture, Thinking Christianly About Style, Media, and Entertainment, which is interesting because it talks a lot about what we are doing ourselves here at Static Radio. And a 20th century Swiss theologian, Karl Barth, this is what he told his students. Take your Bible, take your newspaper, read both, but interpret newspapers from your Bible. Mm. And I think that accurately sums up what's going on either with Shock Therapy Live, with Static Radio in general. And you're right, we need to know what is going on. We need to know what's going on around us. And yes, we look at it through a biblical lens, but man, we've had some crazy conversations about music and television and whether or not we should be attending concerts, I mean, stuff like that.
You'll hear a lot of teachers, and it's so funny. I find that they reuse the same illustrations over and over and over again.
Right.
And what happens is they can never tie in with what's happening currently in the culture. So I think it's so important as pastors, as teachers, as radio shows, that we're using what's currently happening in our day and age, good and bad, to reference it and use that sometimes as comic relief and sometimes as an introspective look to look at society and realize what we're doing wrong.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to do that.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio is our Facebook page if you would like to like us, join in on the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
We've had over 200 new people in the last week.
Yep.
We're at 5,100 likes.
The yellow sub at gmail.com is my PayPal account if you want to transfer me money.
What if somebody did?
That'd be horrible.
That'd be terrible.
I'd transfer it back.
Yeah.
I wouldn't keep it.
Yeah, but then there's like the fees and all that. Oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
You can also email us, studio@mystaticradio.com, if you would like to keep it anonymous. We already got three different email questions that we will get to. Or call us. That's probably the best way because
form of communication.
Yeah, that's our favorite way because then we get to actually talk to you and see
and
what's
we actually
going on.
Hear your tone of voice. Like if you send us an email, we're going to put whatever tone we want to be on your email. And we're going to completely misconstrue what you say.
We really could.
It's happened before. Not intentionally. But
this
has. Okay, I didn't say it like that.
Yeah, we've
okay, well, your email said like in quotations, and that whenever someone says in quotations, you say it like that, in quotations. So if you say it in quotations, then we're going to misconstrue what you say.
We had somebody come up to us at an event once and said, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it in a negative way. That was my question when we did Shock Therapy Live. And it was like, oh, okay, well, good. Glad we got the...
We
got
to do that again, live.
We do need
live
to do that
3D.
Again. Yeah, well, right now you are inundated with your amazing series. Through the book of Matthew.
Yeah. I would take like a week break and do Shock Therapy Live in 3D again.
All right.
Only if we could do it live though.
Live,
like if it was like live.
Can we hand out 3D glasses at the door?
That'd be funny.
Oh man. Studio@mystaticradio.com.
3D glasses with the lenses popped out so it's just
be
frames.
Awesome. That's my children wear those.
It'd be funny.
Why not? 505-338-3700 at Shock Therapy Live. All right. Are we ready?
We're ready.
Okay, enough funny. Here we
go. We got our first question. It says, there has been a question that has been troubling me for some time. A while ago, I read a few articles and books that discussed the sexual temptations of the world. After reading the statistics and reasons why men are addicted to pornography, I have become so afraid. I am 18 years old and involved in a serious courtship. I am paralyzed by the fear that my future husband will not be faithful to me. I feel stifled and afraid, but cannot bring myself to ask about the sexual struggles that men face, specifically the man I might marry. I'm too afraid of the answer. How do I learn to believe that God will protect my future marriage? Please keep me anonymous. Thank you. God bless. So how do you deal with a fear? You know, what I would say is this. I think that you deal with like you deal with any other person. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one. The inside of our hearts are all forms of wickedness, that each one of us at our heart could be a murderer, could be a rapist, could be, a serial killer, all these horrible things. Mm-hmm. Now, What if you let that fear cripple you and paralyze you from ever going out in public? You're like, well, you know, I can't go outside because I might meet someone who might be a murderer, or I might meet someone who is a liar, or I might meet someone who, you know, is a thief. And if you let that paralyze and cripple you from ever doing anything, then you could never achieve what God has you has a plan for your life. So I think there comes a point where you have to trust God more than you let fear dictate your life. So fear is a big thing, but God is bigger. And so it comes to a point where you've got to trust God more than fear. And you have to let God reign in your life more than you let that fear reign in your life. And also I would say the other thing is to have some very real conversations with your boyfriend. I think it's a good opportunity to sit down and say, hey, I read this. It freaks me out. You know, let's talk about this. Do you struggle with this? What are your thoughts on this? And have a really real conversation with him, about that. But I really believe that, a big part of why a lot of men fall into pornography is because the marriage, isn't strong enough, and it's not, the marriage isn't fulfilling what it's supposed to fulfill within that relationship and within that life. And so I think that there's a way to guard against that within the marriage.
Absolutely. And we do get those questions from, different married couples saying, hey, a question on this, our marriage, A, B, and C, and 99% of the time, lack of communication. If they had just communicated to one another from the get-go, things could have, whether it was a decision that was made or, you know, whatever happened in the marriage, 99% of the time, every time we get one of those questions, that's it. It's that lack of communication because you're too terrified or too afraid to confront the situation before it happens.
Yeah.
That inevitably, something does end up happening. And, man, if you could just, yeah, nip it now, have that conversation now. And as you said, not be terrified. I immediately thought of, Second Timothy chapter one, where, you know, Paul's talking to Timothy, sends a letter to Timothy, and it's, you know, admonishing his faith and telling him not to be afraid, because we are not given to a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And if you're running around constantly afraid of what may happen, or I think of people like John Madden, who would never take that's why he's got John Madden's bust, because he would never fly. He was terrified of flying. It petrified him so much so that he wouldn't do it. Yet, statistically speaking, flying is a lot safer than driving because blah, 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 blah. You can get into a whole argument. Whatever it is that petrifies you, man, we got to overcome that.
Yeah.
And so, because that's going to destroy a relationship right there. Being that terrified, you're constantly on guard. And you can never fully give yourself.
And I think it really comes down to how your view of God is. How big do you think God is?
Right.
Is God so small that your relationship can't thrive in a world that is filled with sex and lust and pornography? Or is God bigger than that, and is God stronger than that?
Yeah.
And I think that it comes down to your view of God and your view of sin. You know, if you really think that sin is bigger than God, then you should be afraid of it. But if you believe that God is bigger than sin, then you should trust God. And have have a very real conversation with your boyfriend, and that's a good thing to do. But at the same time, trust in God and trust that that He's got it under control.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, your dad is going through 1st and 2nd Peter right now, and there's some great words of wisdom in 1st and 2nd Peter that talks about that very thing for men, because men who are petrified. On the flip side, you look at a man and it says, hey, these are the statistics, guys. Guess what? You're probably going to have a really gnarly porn addiction, and you're probably going to – and people can be petrified that way, thinking, what can I do? How can I – we're given some very amazing words in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Starting in verse 5, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love this amazing promise down in verse 10 that says, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. And I think men are so terrified, like, yeah, but I'm a man, and I have eyes, and it's out there, and I'm so scared. And dude, Job made a covenant that with his eyes that he would not look lustfully after women. Is it possible to overcome this? Absolutely, it's possible. Yeah. That's why we have this show.
And again, I would say too in this mindset that you be the exception to the statistic.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot to be afraid of in our culture. Over half of marriages end in divorce.
Yeah.
Now, should we say, well, we're never going to get married because I just know my marriage is going to end in divorce? No, you be the exception.
Yeah.
You go into this relationship saying, look, this is what the statistics are, and I'm going to change that. I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be the opposite of what the world is doing, and go into your relationship with that mentality. So
yeah,
cool. We got another question on line one. We got James. James, what's up? You're on Static Radio.
Hey there. How you doing, Pastor Nate?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm all right, so to speak.
All right.
What's going on, man?
Well, I wanted to talk with you. I respect you very much, and I respect the path you've been on. I've been trying to do so myself. I'm a student at the Shepherd School under Pastor Scott Tom.
Okay.
You know, and I've been trying to walk the walk and get into service. And honestly, I'm kind of like falling flat on my face. I've gotten diagnosed with this illness that put me through a lot of pain. And I've had doctors throwing painkillers and pills and these weird things that mess in my head at me, and I even turned to alcohol for a little bit. I already got on top of that. But, I was doing great in class and carrying through systematic theology. But now I can barely get through a work day. I'm a roofer by trade, and I can barely get through my day. Hmm. And then to pick myself up and continue on and study, I was wondering, you know, what your words would be,
No problem.
As to where I can find that power, that strength to carry on and in fact, one of the brothers in our fellowship paid all my tuition, and, you know, I've missed several classes and I just, you know, that's tearing me apart because he paid all my tuition, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm flailing here.
Let me ask you a question, man. How big do you think God is?
Created the universe.
Creator of the universe. But how big do you think he is? Do you think he's big enough to deal with your problems? Or do you think that there comes a point where God, you know, sees what's going on in your life, sees what's going on in humanity, and he's like, oh, whoa, I can't deal with that. I'm going to step back now.
No, I get that.
Yeah. You know, this is what I really believe, and this is a truth that I hold very dear. I think that our view of God dictates our view of life and the circumstances that we go through. If we believe that we serve a small God, even if we know theology, you know, knowing systematic theology, knowing what the Bible says, holds nothing on our view of God. Because we can know mentally, okay, we know God's really big, but do we truly know it and believe it in our lives that God is this immense, big God? And sometimes I think that we serve too small of a God and too safe of a God. And we think that somehow God doesn't want to get involved with the nitty gritty of our life. We think that he doesn't want to deal with the stuff that we don't want to deal with. But the Bible says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the truth of the gospel is that God wants to give us this beautiful exchange. God literally wants to take all the crap, all the junk, all the messy stuff that we don't want to deal with. He wants that. He wants to take it, and he wants to give us in return joy. He wants to give us life. He wants to give us peace. He wants to give us mercy. He wants to give us grace. And I think that sometimes, even though we say we believe it, we really don't believe that he can do that. We say, oh yeah, I believe that God can do that in my life, but we don't live it. We don't act like we believe it. And so we go through this issue of trusting and believing that God is a big God. And so I want to read to you Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. You've probably heard it before, but I want you to really take it to heart. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I'm going to ask you a question really quick going through this verse. Do you think you're anxious right now for a lot in life?
Yeah.
You're anxious for a lot. And so it says, be anxious for nothing. Why? Why should we be anxious for nothing? You would think that this verse would end, say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and God will fix all your problems. That's what we think in our minds that it should say. But it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. See, what happens is when we trust that God is a big God, when we trust that God is big enough not to then and there just fix all of our problems and say, okay, here you go, you're never going to experience pain, because that's not going to happen until we get to heaven. But if we trust and believe in the magnitude of God, then we believe his promises for us, promises that say that he wants to give us a future and a hope, that his thoughts for us are of good, not of evil. We trust in his promises that says that our ultimate destination is heaven. We also trust the promises that aren't that comforting. Matthew says that in this world you will have persecution, you will have trials, but it says blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit. And so literally that translation is, oh, how happy. And so as we trust the magnitude and the bigness of God, it doesn't matter what we go through in life, not because God's going to just fix it then and there, but we trust that the ultimate outcome of those situations is the glory of God. I want you to think of it this way. Have you ever seen a Disney movie?
I've got three kids, man.
Have you seen Bambi?
Yes.
Okay, if you watched the first 5 minutes of Bambi and turned it off, would you say that's a pretty happy movie? No, what happens in the first five minutes? Bambi's mom gets shot in the head.
Yeah.
That is not a happy movie. Mr. Hunter comes along and stuffs Bambi's mom to put inside his living room. You know, that's not a happy movie. But this is something that you can know about any Disney movie. As a parent, you know this. Disney movies always have a happy ending. Why? Because they're Disney movies, right? And so know this, your life, it doesn't matter what happens, it doesn't matter what comes in play within your life, you know the ending, and you know that your life is going to have a happy ending because you know the maker of your life, and that maker is Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, every life that has been transformed by Jesus Christ has a happy ending, and your life has a happy ending. It doesn't matter what comes in play in between now and that ending, your life has a happy ending. The question is, do you trust God that it does?
You know, I wear that verse from Jeremiah 29 on my finger. Mm. You're dead on. I'm not living it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a hard thing. You know, it's easy for me to say that over a phone line, but it's hard to do that. It's hard to truly trust in God. And sometimes the only way we can truly develop that trust is by falling. And right now you're falling, and you're in this state of just falling and falling and falling. And
I feel that way.
And you've got to realize, and you've got to stop trying to, you know, put your hands up and grab onto something as you fall. And you've got to just kind of let yourself fall into the hands of God, and that will create within you a trust in God. The only way we can really trust God is by falling and then realizing that when we fall, he catches us. And when we see that enough times in our life, we realize, man, God hasn't let me fall and hit rock bottom at any point in my life. And so why am I going to stop trusting in him? I'm going to trust in his promises. I'm going to trust in his will. And I'm going to trust that the ultimate outcome of my life is that he's going to give me blessings, that he's going to give me a future and a hope.
Yeah, I've got one more question that I've been struggling with is this, along with this illness, I've got doctors giving me pills, and some of them have messed with my head. I've taken them, I quit taking them, and I'm wondering where I land with that. What do I do with that? I don't want them messing with my head.
Yeah, you know, that's something that ultimately I can't give you the answer to that, because that's something you got to work through with a doctor.
Yeah.
I do know that there really is clinical depression where there's chemical imbalances, and medicine can help. As far as whether or not that's the answer for you, I can't answer that because I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist, and I'm not a doctor. So that really is something you got to work out with your doctor. And if you feel like those medications are messing with you, then let your doctor know. Say, hey, is there something else you can put me on? Because I feel like this is messing me up. I feel like this is, you know, doing more harm than good. But that's a conversation you really need to have with a doctor. Do I think that there's anything wrong with taking medication for mental imbalances? I don't. I believe that there's nothing wrong with that.
Actually, they're physical. They're like painkillers and things like that.
Nate, I was going to interject here. Nate, actually, when you were longboarding, broke your body. And you had to take, Vicodin? You had to take some crazy gnarly painkillers,
Percocet
as well. That obviously
they're nasty.
Yeah, they are. They
affect, it didn't do anything to me, though.
Yeah. So, I wanted to say this. My mother was diagnosed with fibromyalgia years ago.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm dealing with.
And as a son, it was one of the most difficult things. This sounds selfish. It was one of the most difficult things for me to endure because my mother is the human that through my entire life has shown me the love of God, who has prayed for me and in my darkest moments never gave up on me and just continued to love me because she's my mom, and hopefully that's what moms do. And I saw and watched her physically suffer.
It hurts like heck.
And then I saw them put her on a bunch of different meds, and they would screw up her mind, or she would be ill and she would throw up, or she had complications here, or she was had an allergic reaction to this one, and it just kept going and going and going for years. And yet my mom lived on two verses that that I think of now. And one of them is Galatians 6:9 that says, "Do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up." And the other one that dumbfounded me that has become one of my life verses, it was very hard for me to accept at the time, is right before what Nate had said. It's in Philippians chapter 4. Maybe you just need to go read Philippians chapter 4 in its entirety over and over if you have to. But Philippians chapter 4 verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." You know, he has to tell us twice. In all things, in all times, in all areas, in our suffering, we are to rejoice because we know, as Nate so eloquently put, that Jesus has already come to this world. He's already overcome the world. He is big enough to see you to the end, and we have this blessed hope that we are going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Mm. We have that assurance, and so to live is Christ, and to die is definitely gain. Mm. But right now you are suffering physically, and it hurts, and it sucks, and it's literally a pain. And I've seen it in my mother for years, and she suffered, and she took all these meds, and she'd have to keep going to the doctor because this one caused this chemical reaction, or this one affected her liver, or this did this, and this caused this other thing, and blah, 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 blah. And through it all, she prayed and prayed and prayed, and she never gave up hope, and she never quit. And through that, seeing that in my life, it was the catalyst for no matter what was going on in my life, I finally turned to Jesus myself because one of those things was seeing this woman in pain, not blaming God, not being angry about it, but rejoicing that God loved her so much that he sent his son to die for her. And though she was in pain and though she was suffering now, it was just going to be for a little while. And I want you to know that as a son of a mom who still to this day, you know, quote unquote, still diagnosed with it, she's living pain free now. And since then, she has been able to cut back those meds. And since then, she has been, I would say, healed. And it is an incredible thing to witness. Now, I'm saying that as a personal experience. I'm not saying a blanket statement across the board that all you need to do is have faith and all you need to do is go to a prayer service and ask the elder of the church to, like, anoint you with oil and you're immediately going to be healed, because it doesn't happen that way for every single person every single time. However, have that joyful expectation that whether this life or the next, God is going to do a miracle and heal you completely. We prayed and prayed and prayed for my wife's grandfather for healing because he had cancer. And you know what? We believed that God was going to heal him, and he passed away, and he's healed. Yeah. And he's standing before Jesus complete. Yeah. And every day we rejoice. We rejoice in all circumstances always. And I know that sounds callous because I'm not suffering and my bones don't hurt right now. And I'm not having to take a bunch of pills that affect my mind. But I want you to know that, man, we are going to be praying for you. Our audience listening is going to be praying for you, praying for healing, praying for restoration of your heart and your mind, that you would be able to rejoice in the Lord always, that you would take heart, that you would not be overcome with these fears, with these anxieties, that you would not succumb to depression, that you would be able to stand firm in your faith and know that you are in the hands of a God who loves you so much. He sent his son to die for you, specifically for you, because he loves and cares for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Dude,
Amen.
We love you, bro. Thank you so much
for
calling.
Thank you.
I just think through Paul too. You know, Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and it says in the Bible that he prayed multiple times, asking God to remove this thorn in his flesh, to take it away.
Yeah.
And God didn't, because God used it for a purpose within Paul's life. And so again, just to echo that, God might never remove this physical ailment, this malady in this life, but look for the ways in which God wants to use it within your life. You know, you said you're in shepherd school, and God might want to use this as a tool within your life and your ministry. And so a lot of times I think we can look at the ailments and the things that we deal with in life as a hindrance from God's work in our life, and we might not realize that God wants to use it as a furtherance in our ministry. And so look right now for ways, maybe not that this is hindering your ministry, but look for ways that you can use this to further your ministry, as weird as that sounds, because that's what Paul did.
Johnny Erickson taught us.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally, absolutely. And it's interesting. We were talking about that this morning. One book over in Colossians chapter 4, that's actually what Paul was saying, that people would pray for him, that God may open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which he was in prison. So he's in prison praying that people would pray for Paul, not to get out of prison, but that God would open doors for him to be able to preach the word, the mystery of Christ, that he may be able to make it clear, which is how he ought to speak. Imagine an opportunity where you're able to share with a doctor or someone around you who is also in pain, who is hurting, where you can say, man, yeah, physically I'm ailing, but this is the joy I have in my soul, in my spirit, in my being. And you never know what door God can open through that. So,
yeah,
man, God bless you, man.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Hey, James, hold on the line for just a little bit. Cool?
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks, man.
We do need to take a quick break. We're already halfway through Shock Therapy Live. We still have a few email questions to get to. If you have a question for Shock Therapy Live, email us, studio@mystaticradio.com. Quick break. Right back with more at Shock Therapy Live.
Peace out.
Static Radio.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. You're still listening? Good. Because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Well, all right.
Yes.
Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live.
We are back.
I love the way God works, man.
Welcome back.
Cool stuff.
Back again.
If you miss any part of Shock Therapy Live, we do podcast this show. In fact, we have all of them posted because we have dived into many great topics. And you can check out our podcast history at mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. Check it out. We got a couple questions to get to.
Matt's worshiping.
If you would like to call in, you can talk to our producer, Mateo, who will be answering the phone.
He's lonely. Give him a call. Talk to him.
505-338-3700. And we also take your email questions if you'd like to keep it anonymous, because we do tackle some difficult subjects. So if you have an issue going on in your world and you would like some clarification and want to keep it anonymous, email us, studio@mystaticradio.com.
Yeah, I'm going to read this one. Forewarning, the grammar's a little iffy on this. I'm going to read exactly how it is instead of trying to change it.
Okay.
So, this is the question. When is divorce valid? I'm a guy married 5 years ago, and basically jealousy and distrust have been destroyed all this. The last update is aggression from her, and I worry about my security. She just can call the police and said that I hurt her. The church always is encouraged stay together, but I don't know. We are split for 3 months, and the most depressed thing is that she does not look consents about she's need to be free. He had like 5 married counselors. It's like as a sport for her. Can you email me the answer?
Okay, so been married 5 years. There's jealousy and distrust.
Let's just answer the question.
Okay.
When is divorce valid?
There you go. Okay. When adultery has been committed.
Yeah.
Definition of adultery. Because some will say, hey, Book of Matthew.
Adultery in your heart.
Chapter 5, Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. So my husband looked at this woman on the television screen, and I know he was lusting. He committed adultery.
Yeah.
Can I leave him?
No, adultery is physical adultery. You know, that would be sex between a man and a woman.
We're talking intercourse.
Yeah, or I guess a man and a man, or a woman and a woman.
Right.
You know, if that happened, that'd be
intercourse
adultery
with
too.
Anyone who is not your spouse.
Yes, that's adultery.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when it's valid. That's the only time it's valid, you know. Now, I will give a caveat to that. There are times when we will have a couple separate for a time.
Yeah.
But the reason we do that is because there's, you know, something going on. If a woman's being physically or emotionally abused, we'll encourage them to separate for a time and ask the man for repentance. And at that point, again, she can't divorce him, but we'll oftentimes just fellowship a man until he comes back to repentance. But, you know, this is that's the biblical mentality. The only time divorce is valid is when adultery has been committed. There's, you know, there's not additional addendums to that.
Yeah, I think there's one other time in Scripture in 1 Corinthians that talks about the if the husband of the wife is not a believer and wants to leave, basically, consents to leave you, are you allowed to get a divorce? Yes, because this unbelieving spouse says, hey, peace out, I'm out. But if the unbelieving spouse wants to remain married, then you should stay married type thing. So, yeah, there are different areas of Scripture. But I would say for your circumstance saying, oh, but you don't understand, there's jealousy that's gotten in the mix of the marriage. There's, distrust. She called the cops on me and said that I did something that I didn't do. That definitely sounds like you guys need to speak to said married counselors, because I apologize, the grammar, I didn't quite get the idea of the married counselor type thing, but you definitely need to seek some professional help in there.
Yes.
But again, is divorce valid in your situation? I would say, based upon the information given us, absolutely not. Because it just looks like jealousy. And Jesus even said himself, man, from the beginning, it wasn't so. Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed divorce, because of adultery. But from the beginning, it wasn't so. One man, one woman, till death do you part. And we today, as you were saying earlier, divorce rate up to 50%.
It's crazy.
And it's not like, oh, but that's non-Christian marriages. No. Divorce affects the church just the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we need to, people, young adults who are not married, think long and hard before you make that commitment. Pray without ceasing that God would bring to you that person. But I think we just jump into these situations and then we think, oh, well, I can always get a divorce. I always have this out. And something like jealousy or no.
Yeah.
Moving on. Sorry.
Yes. Cool. We got another question.
Okay.
Another email question. So I am emailing for a couple different questions I have.
Okay.
Number one, my husband and I was attending a church in which, hey guys, you got to work on your grammar and your email questions.
Stop
Come on.
It.
My husband and I was attending a church in which the pastor was still attending seminary school, and he believed in same-sex marriage, and he believes God made them gay. I have tried to talk to him, but he still believes in this. We quit going to his church. I am longer in... I am longer in Christianity. So she's saying, I've been a Christian longer than my husband.
Oh, okay.
This was my suggestion, and we agreed not to go anymore.
Yeah.
I don't hate him or anyone, but I do hate the sin, and what he agrees with is against God. I just don't know, and I don't want to... I just want to know, is this wrong for us to quit going because of this? So that's the first question.
No, it's good for you
to quit going. Yeah. You know, that's very, very good. We often encourage people that have called in that have been going to a church that has some weird theological views to not go to that church.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the only way you can vote is with your feet. And if a church is doing something ungodly or unbiblical, first of all, make sure that you can tell them why it's ungodly and unbiblical.
Go.
A lot of times we'll leave church and say, you're not doing this the right way. And maybe it's just you don't like the music they're playing or something.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you can actually tell them why what they're doing is ungodly and unbiblical.
Right.
And then, if nothing changes, then it's good to leave. It's good to change that. You want to go to a church that's teaching the truth and a church where you can be fed in accordance with God's word. So that's
absolutely.
What I'd say.
I agree 150%. It's not like hey, we did communion and they did these little like square wafers and I'm used to circular wafers. This is unbiblical. No. However, something as blatant as God made you gay, that is absolutely not a biblical truth. Peace out, buddy.
Well,
second half.
Number two.
Okay.
I have not done research, and I don't watch much TV, and our roommate was watching a show on the History Channel about some new Gospels they have found. Okay. If he watches it on the History Channel, he believes it, although I have heard from other shows they are not always right on what they show, and they are theories.
Imagine
how
that.
Or where can I find out about these new Gospels? They supposed to have been found, so I can know... Okay, I'm done. I'm done reading that. Okay, new Gospels. What do you say about new Gospels? First of all, I would say this. Just because it's on the History Channel doesn't mean it's history.
Right.
I've seen shows on History Channel like Aliens Among Us. Does Bigfoot exist?
Dude, Discovery Channel? Megalodon, anyone?
No, that was that was Discovery,
that
not
was
history.
Discovery.
Megalodon exists.
No, he does not!
Dude, if you say that, he'll eat you in your sleep. So, you know, just because it's on the television doesn't mean it's real. You know, so I would be very wary of, oh, it was on History Channel, so that means it's real.
Right.
They have some crazy stuff on History Channel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you think that all the reality TV shows that are on History Channel are really reality, then you got another thing coming. So, just because the Pawn Stars promote it doesn't mean that it's real.
I'm sure I'm going to piss some people off, but just because it's taught in schools doesn't mean it's legit either. You know what
you
I mean?
You came from a monkey. You know, I want to try that. Like, seriously, when a teacher says that, you should just, like, jump up on the table.
It's my monkey
nature.
Don't
get mad at me. I'm a monkey.
You can't get mad at me. It's my monkey nature. This is monkey business, yo.
Oh, man. Just monkeying around.
I don't mean to belittle the question, but you can't believe everything you see on television.
Yeah. Now I will talk about these new Gospels.
Yeah.
Because they literally are new Gospels. Because that's the biggest issue with them. They weren't written at the time of the other Gospels. They were written some 400 or 500 years later.
Right.
So they literally are like new Gospels. Like some guy would be like me coming up today and saying, you know what? I'm going to write an eyewitness account of Abraham Lincoln today. Wait. That was like 400 years ago. It doesn't matter. Eyewitness account. Abraham Lincoln was secretly not a human, but he was a vampire hunter. Oh, wait. Somebody did that. Do you read Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter and say, wow, that is such an eyewitness account of Abraham Lincoln's life?
Did you see on History Channel that Abraham Lincoln was 300 years ago? Is that why you said that?
No.
Did the History Channel tell you that because they lied to you?
How long ago was Abraham Lincoln? Like 200 years ago?
I can't breathe. 300 years ago, were we? We're not even a 300-year-old country
yet. 200 years ago.
17,
it was in the 1800s.
17, what? There's like 100. Bar Mateo, he's like, dude, when, 150 tops.
150? Let's see. When was Abe?
1800.
Well, when in the 1800s? Hey, shut up.
You're getting off topic. That,
yeah,
that's
you
not
just
important.
Totally ruined
sorry,
it. You just train wrecked it. Now you can
what
answer
you're
the
saying
question.
Is,
now you do it.
What you're saying. Thank you, Mateo.
The 18-what?
Mid-1800s is what he just yelled at us. So what you're saying, though, is if somebody tries to write a book 400, 500 years after an event occurred as an eyewitness account, chances are it's not real. Hold on, I got to sneeze.
Okay.
Book of Mormon. Sorry.
Even 150 years ago. Okay, Abraham Lincoln, 150 years ago, whatever. Even if you were to write it 150 years later, it's an eyewitness account.
Exactly. Allergies acting up, my bad.
I just think, like, imagine that. Let's say 2,000 years from now, someone reads, like, the historical accounts of Abraham Lincoln. They're like, hey, I found this manuscript, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. We should probably look at this because there's more to Abe's life than what we thought.
Right.
You know, so in that situation, you're talking about something that was written way, 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 you know, later on. And so
yeah,
it's just crazy.
Eyewitness account. Yeah, Book of Mormon. That's what I said.
Yeah.
505-338-3700. That's the phone number. You can also email us, studio@mystaticradio.com. We got to take our final break. Coming right back. More with Pastor Nate Heitzig and myself. I'm Steve-O. And this is Shock Therapy Live.
I'm going to go.
Okay.
Coming to down. Calvary Knob Hill in the Lobo Theater, Sunday, September 22nd at 6 p.m., don't miss The City Harmonic. The City Harmonic. The City Harmonic, Sunday, September 22nd at 6 p.m. Tickets available now at Parchment's Bookstore and online at calvaryabq.org.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have Jesus walk up to you, to talk with him face to face? What would that encounter be like? What would he say? Well, this month's Connection offer includes two special resources that will deepen your love of Jesus and help you to encounter him personally. The first is Encounter, Face-to-Face with Jesus by Skip Heitzig. This book vividly describes 17 different people in the New Testament who met with Jesus and were changed forever. We've included a second book in this package, The Acclaimed, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands, People in Need, Helping People in Need by Paul David Tripp. You'll discover that each person in the body of Christ has unique and important gifts and how God desires to use each one of us to help others. These two books will encourage your faith and strengthen your service, and we've bundled them in this month's package available for just $25. You can order your copy of the September Resource Package today at skipheitzig.com or when you call 1-800-922-1888.
Shock Therapy Live. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Yep. Steve-O. Pastor Nate.
Man.
Speaking of Pastor Nate Heitzig.
I've got an orthodontist appointment today.
Oh, nice.
That sucks.
In 24 hours, you got an appointment with your people.
My peeps.
Renovate. RenovateABQ.org, by the way. And, of course, yeah. You can hear Pastor Nate's teaching every single Sunday night, part of Static U. But let's talk about what's
tomorrow
going on.
We're having a super special service. We're going to wait for the Lord to return and drink Kool-Aid together. So
you kill everything.
Join us at 7:30 and bring a sleeping bag.
No wonder nobody takes me seriously. I thought it was because I hang out with Mateo a lot. Turns out it's Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you do what you can.
I swear you say these things just to throw me off. What's really happening at Renovate?
We're teaching through the book of Matthew right now. And animal sacrifices. I bit a head off a bat last week.
I have to leave. Gosh.
So if you like animal blood, come to Renovate.
You can't just go around
biting
the heads off of bats. I'm thinking that's not biblical. I get it. We've been given dominion over the animals. Doesn't mean you can just go around biting the heads off of
bats. Hey, don't tell me what I can't do. Just because it's not cooked? You're judging me because I can eat meat and you can't eat meat? Is that what's happening right now?
Romans 14, we're doing a study right now. Will you please?
No, none of that really happens.
Okay.
We talk about Renovate every week. I feel bad talking about it again.
What are you talking about? It's a really rad ministry here, part of Calvary Albuquerque.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we meet Thursday nights in the Lobo Theater. We do verse-by-verse Bible teaching and awesome worship, so
yeah.
Come on out.
Absolutely. Thursday
You've
night,
heard it enough.
Lobo
you should
Theater.
Talk about it.
Yeah, I know. Every Thursday night, Lobo Theater. I follow you guys on the Instagrams.
Yeah.
I got you up on the Twitters.
Yeah, it's fun.
It is. It's pretty
rad. It's church like you haven't experienced before. You know, if you have these preconceived notions about what church is like or what church people are like, come to Renovate and see your expectations blown away.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what's going down at the Lobo Theater right now. Not just Thursday night. Sunday morning, our super amazing friend, Pastor Jarrett Petro,
Jarrett
in charge
Petro.
Of Calvary ABQ. Or Calvary Knob Hill in the Lobo Theater. There you go. That's what I meant. Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater, Sunday, 11:15. In fact, coming up in October, be listening because we're going to be doing something really rad with someone down in the Knob Hill area. And your chance to help support Static Radio. It's coming up. It's going to be awesome. So we got a couple minutes left of show if you would like to chime in on anything now that Nate has officially scared everybody away. Thanks, bro. I was hoping for one last rad question.
505-338-3700,
the phone number. You can also, Facebook is facebook.com/mystaticradio. In fact, we got a comment on Facebook, concerning James and the fibromyalgia discussion on herbal stuff that you can take. It's not weed.
We got an awesome deep question from Brian.
Okay.
It says, I love God. John 3:16.
Boom!
Question?
That's all, my fantasy football league. That's actually my picture.
Do you love God? Is that the question? Is that like a? Is that a question?
I don't know. He just wanted to go. Hey, Jesus John 3:16. Juke. That's the name of my team.
What, Jesus
my
Juke?
Fantasy football team is the Jesus Jukers.
Nice.
And that dude in the stands with the John 3:16 sign, he's my mascot.
Did you like my Harry Potter thing on Instagram the other day? Did you see it?
I don't know.
Okay, I got to show it to you. You'll appreciate this.
Not right now on the air. We have
no,
a call.
No, on the air.
Oh, yes, your fantasy
yeah.
football. Yeah, I got
you
it.
Didn't
you
like
don't
that?
Play fantasy football because you're not Sporty Spice. All right, 2 minutes
Sporty Spice.
Or
Ooh.
Less. Ready? Go.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, so I just wanted to give just a quick, not so much of a question, just a quick testimony on God's faithfulness to, you know.
Nope, we don't do testimonies here.
Stop it.
Just joking.
Whoever, and I speak in correct grammar, so you don't have to worry about that.
Okay, it better be good, otherwise we're hanging up on
I'm
you.
I'm just giving you the floor.
I'm not going to say you're all bad or anything like
okay.
that.
It's all good, bro.
Okay, so anyway, quick testimony is I got a new job last week. And it's a salaried position.
Woo-woo.
And yeah, so when I did the math, let me start with this. Salary position, better hours than what I'm working now, more time to serve a church, more time to spend time with my family. And then when I did the math of what I'd be making per week, it actually came out to exactly what my wife and I have been tithing for the past like 8 months.
What?
Wow.
So, yeah, exactly. So we've been giving a certain amount over above, you know, what we make now, because I've always heard this is just my thought process, so I'm not saying you can find it in scripture. My thought process has always been, I want to give to God because, you know, God is faithful.
Yeah.
So when I tithe, I want to tithe, you know, like I want to make, for example. You know what I mean? That's exactly what I've been doing, what me and my wife have been doing for the past 8 months. And that's exactly
Dude,
what
that's
I'm gonna
awesome.
Start making now.
That's awesome. Now you gotta end it with this. You gotta say, game changer, Jesus Juke, boom,
game changer,
game changer, boom, baby.
There you go.
Boom,
baby.
Wow, like he added the baby. Boom, baby.
Thanks for the test.
There it is.
That was a cool phone call.
Later, man.
505-338-3700. 20-second testimony. Go. No, you know what? That is biblical though. I'm telling you, in the Italian book of Malachi, chapter 3, it talks about, like, back then they were robbing God by not paying tithes, and he was saying, dude, test me, see that I don't pour out these incredible blessings that you can't even store the grain in your storehouses. So, not to say that, dude, I really
I've got a game changer
raise,
story.
So,
I've got a game. I climbed a mountaintop, found an eagle egg, ate it, and now I have eagle powers. Game changer, baby. Boom! I'm going to fly up out of here.
For 0.7 seconds, I was like, oh, yeah, Nate's going to say something real.
Oh, yeah.
Crap, he lied.
Nope, real. Eagle powers.
Dear, can I just say I love you so much?
That's a lie.
You make my day hilariouser.
Hilariouser.
Oh, if you missed any part of Shock
you're
Therapy
like,
Live.
You're like the email questioners. Hilariouser.
Shut up! MyStaticRadio.com/shocktherapylive. I can't even get through it. You want to finish this out?
Good thing the emails are anonymous, otherwise we'd have a lot of embarrassed people. Hey, this has been Shock Therapy Live. We love you guys. Steve-O's having a seizure. Peace out.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.